buckle up. It's showtime.
I got something to say to you, boy. Just exactly what you're trying to pull here.
I'm not trying to pull anything.
Well, let me tell you something. You ain't fooling me for a minute. You think I don't see what you are? You're one of those smooth-talking, smart-ass niggas just out for all you can get with your black power and all that other troublemaking nonsense. And as long as you are anywhere around this house, I'm right here watching. You read me, boy? You bring any trouble in here and you just like to find out what black power really means.
Reese on the radio, and we are back, and we are live, as we always are, in a condensed version of Reese on the radio today, of course, because of the looming second presidential debate, which is going to be happening today, Mitt Romney versus President Barack Obama. And of course, we'll analyze that. I will analyze that. I have to analyze that. I want to know what it is that's going to happen, how it's going to turn out. We can only assume how good or how bad the president will perform this time around. Many people will say, oh, no, we expect him to be really, really good. We expect him to be energized. We expect him to be prolific. We expect him to be the man we all know that he is. Well, he'll be in, you know, he'll be in rare form, beyond a shadow of a doubt. Now, I'll be honest with you, I believe that the speculation is a little overhyped. Why do I believe that? Well, this always happens when there's a big game or big issue online. It's very rare that anything turns up to be what everyone hypes it to be. As you might remember, the vice presidential debate, we all expected, you know, this to be a drag them out, bang them up, shoot them up sort of, and it wasn't. The only thing we ended up talking about was Vice President Joe Biden's snickers and smirks and smiles and gravitas, if you will. And that's what it is that happened. Well, we didn't expect any of that. So we're not going to get what it is that we expect here. So I'm not going to go off on a tear about what it is that I predict. I expect the questions, honestly, to lean to the left. They will be very liberal. I believe that the answers today will really, really be on Mitt Romney today. Now, pay attention to what I'm telling you, folks. Everyone's talking about Barack Obama's performance. But I think the one thing that people are secretly looking for is how Mitt Romney responds to women in this debate. There will be women who will ask questions on this debate, and there will be social issues that will be put on the table. How Mitt Romney responds to them will be scrutinized. Because remember, the agenda of the liberal media is to paint Mitt Romney as a person who is out of touch, and especially out of touch with women. Now that Mitt Romney has gained women's support in recent polls, now it is important to denounce him or in some sort of way defame him, to discredit him for those gains. And I believe that there will be a concerted effort by many to put him on the spot. So I tell you, when this debate happens, I want you to focus on how it is that Mitt Romney responds to those social issues. Because if you don't believe that the average people, these independents they claim are in Long Island, are not going to ask those social questions, you'll be wrong. Another key element to watch here is whether or not there will be any significant questions on foreign policy as they're related to Libya, Ambassador Stevens, our mission around the world, going to war. Those will also be a prominent issue in this debate. No one else is going to give you that analysis, folks. I don't care who you watch. And my favorite, Bill O'Reilly, is not even talking about this, and he won't. And his show just aired, same time as mine. It won't be a focus of these analysts, but it will turn out to be significant during this debate. Now, many people are upset about Candy Crowley, who will be the moderator today, whether or not she'll be able to shift the focus of these certain questions that come out there, whether or not she'll be a microphone holder, or whether or not she will sway the conversation from that initial question. Truth is, folks, you shouldn't care. Because I don't. And I don't believe many Americans do. We know who Candy Crowley is. She works for CNN, and we know who CNN is. Their numbers prove it. When I say numbers, I mean Nielsen ratings. Their numbers prove it. See, I found odd that Candy Crowley was even suggested for a couple of reasons, but the one reason being, how is this woman significant when it comes to news? No one watches that network. I mean, for crying out loud, MSNBC is kicking them in the pants. They're not even in the... Are they in the top 10? No, my apologies. Yes, they are. They are in the top 10. Because Anderson Cooper is in that. Pierce Morgan's is in the top 10. I think they're the two. I don't even believe Wolf Blitzer's Situation Room is in the top 10. So if Wolf Blitzer has less ratings than Anderson Cooper, then Candy Crowley is a drop in a bucket, comparatively. And I say that to be completely honest. But the numbers don't lie. So Candy Crowley is there for some particular reason, because I think that the election commission picked Candy Crowley and picked Martha Raddatz, who was on last week. I think they picked them for the obvious reasons. It's because women's issues have been at the forefront, and having women out there, putting them in the forefront in these debates shows some semblance, I believe, that these women are relevant, or women issues are relevant. I'm not saying that they aren't. I'm saying that they're putting that in the forefront to the American people. Everything is publicity, folks. Everything. Everything is about the spin. And that's what I'm here to tell you, the bottom line. It's always about the spin. Now, again, I'll say it one more time so that I make sure that people pay attention and understand me. And for the cheap seats, you get it. This will not turn out to be the debate everyone was looking for. I could end up being wrong here. And trust me, I hope I am. But I think what we need to do is to pay attention to the nuances, the small, the little details. Because Barack Obama cannot come grand here. Neither can Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney can't come grand. He can't be grandiose. Neither one of them can. Barack Obama has been trained, yeah, I use that word, trained like a dog. No, not 28. He's been trained like a dog to respond, to attack, to demonize. And that is what he'll do the entire time he's there. David Axelrod told the president, watch him. Watch what he does. Watch what he says. React. Respond. Attack. Sick him, boy. I'm just being truthful here. That's what he's telling him to do. Sick him, puppy. Sick him. Sick him. Sick him. Sick him. Bite his ankles. Get him, doggy. Sorry. All right. Okay. Let me get back to my point. Anyway, bottom line is, that's what he's been telling him to do. Mitt Romney. Oh, don't think that he's sitting back going, oh, yeah, I want to laugh, and I got this one. Rubbing his dirt off his shoulder, you know, patting himself on the back. No. Mitt Romney has been told one important thing. Expose the president. Expose him. Show him who he is. Show everyone who he is. Show him that you can expose him. Show him that he is weak. Let him feel his weakness. Let him experience it. get them in a tear. CNN did a thing today that I thought was funny. President Obama was asked one question. It took him 17 minutes to answer. 17! 17 minutes to answer one question. That's who he is. He is a filibuster. This is the reason why Barack Obama was so awful during the last debate. Because he knew he couldn't filibuster. He couldn't sway you into believing the answer. He can't do it. He can't sum it in 2 minutes. Hey, I can't do it in 2 minutes. I've been known to ramble on. Very much like I'm doing now. Bottom line is that anybody who can't do it, especially someone like the President of the United States, anybody who can't do it is doomed to fail. If you're not prepared, if you're not really, really prepared, and I'm sure the President will be, he'll be prepared. But can he do it in 2 minutes? Will he try to run roughshod over the question and the moderator and Mitt Romney and just go rambling on and on and on and on and on and on? He might. But see, this is where I believe that he will damage himself. President Obama has this thing about talking too much and then incriminates himself. That's what Mitt Romney will have to pick up on. We'll have to pay attention to every word that President Obama says and then attack. Get him, doggy. Get him. That's all I'm saying. So don't expect much. I don't think we're going to get much unless somebody gets smacked in the jaw. But I want to see how the president responds. That's where the focus will be today, folks, by the way. No matter what, everybody has told you to do what? They told you to pay attention to the president. He had an abysmal turnout 2 weeks ago. Everyone's dying to see what it is that he's going to do for the comeback. It's like Mike Tyson after the Buster Douglas fight. That's all it is. Mike Tyson gets knocked the F out by Buster Douglas, and when Mike Tyson's returned, everybody's, what's he going to do to respond to the Buster Douglas knockout? Will he be the same Mike Tyson? That's all everybody's talking about. Will he be the same Mike Tyson? Will he go in there after the defeating and horrible loss of Buster Douglas and go out there and kick some ass? That's why everybody's paying attention to him. All eyes will be on it. In fact, I believe that so many people out there will be paying attention to Barack Obama so much I'm not even hear a thing that Mitt Romney says. Because they want to know whether or not he can get off the canvas. And I know there are people out there who are dying for him to get off the canvas. Please, please, you're making us look horrible. Please, President, get off.
That's what they're saying.
But I'll be watching and I'll be breaking it down every little way. But I know I'm going to be right here, ladies and gentlemen. I usually am. This is not one of those cases where I get it wrong. The number is 347-308-8701 right here on Reasonable Radio. Let's go to our good friend Dennis the Menace up in Massachusetts. Dennis? Am I wrong here, or is my analysis
My brain is rattled. As you know, we just had an earthquake less than an hour ago. You didn't know?
No, I heard. It was
4.5 west, 20 miles west of Portland.
Boston.
Yeah, I was talking to Justin, and I thought somebody was trying to break in the house, and I hung up on him. Now, let's... over-under for tonight. When do you think that Barack Obama will mention Joe Biden's wife's accident? This is the touchy-feely debate, remember.
Well, listen, you're not going to get a twofer on this one, Dennis. I do not believe that Barack Obama will go there. Although, I do know, and you're absolutely right here, Democrats have been known since the Carter era. And Carter was a real, real stickler for using this idea. always throwing a family member or somebody personal that they met. You know, you remember Jimmy Carter's, I talked to my 8-year-old daughter, Amy, about what's the most important.
Nuclear war.
Right, nuclear war. Right, right. Remember that?
9-year-old's going to tell us how we should deal with the Soviet Union.
And Amy was 8. And you know what? When I was a kid, you know, Amy was one of those people who they talked about all the time in school. When I was going to school, Amy Carter was a big topic.
She got an arrest record bigger than yours now.
I heard. I don't have an arrest record, by the way.
Oh, well, let's clear that up. But you know what I'm saying.
But yeah, I hear she gets into a lot of trouble. But what do you think of my...
Yeah, well, she's always protesting.
Yeah, but what do you think of my assessment? Do you believe that it's been overhyped so far on this whole thing, and it'll turn out to be lackluster, that it'll turn out to be a bore? There will be no headline tomorrow.
Well, the first thing I would say to Mitt is don't wear any wristwatches. You know, Candy Crawley. I mean, are they going to start singing The Candy Girl? I mean, change the words from Candyman?
I hope that doesn't happen. Thank you.
By the way, the youth have just graduated. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Who have the youth?
The Jugend. Hitler Jugend. I mean, the Obama youth.
Oh, have they graduated?
FEMA just graduated its first class of 231 homeland youth.
Oh, really? Wow.
What are they going to be used for? This says create a full-time paid standing army of FEMA youth across the country. I think it's scary.
So you didn't answer my question.
If we don't pay attention to the lessons of history anyway.
No, I don't. You didn't answer my question. Do you believe that my assessment of this...
I was in my Elizabeth Warren mode.
So do you believe that my assessment of the debate...
Yeah, I think it's pretty spot on.
So you don't...
I'm not going to say for shizzle because that would be pushing it.
Hey, our good friend Joe in Michigan is back.
Wait a minute, Dukakis Joe.
How are you?
Oh, not too bad. I'm just vehemently disagreeing with everything that's being said, as usual.
So wait. So you believe that my assessment here is wrong?
Indeed. I believe that Crowley is an excellent reporter. She has a... long-standing repertoire. Regardless of what CNN's ratings are or what their political affiliation is, there's not much a moderator can do to persuade a debate. It's really on the candidate to perform or not.
I agree with you there. I agree with you there. No. Hold on, Dennis.
Yeah.
I agree with you there, Joe. I agree with you there, Joe, for one reason. One solid reason I agree with you. And here's what it is that even if Candy Crowley tries to manipulate the question or skew it a particular way, it is still up to that person in the debate to answer the question not only decisively or emphatically, but he has got to keep the focus so that it's not turned into some propaganda machine. He's got to be the eloquent one here. He's got to express himself eloquently here.
I'll go with you on that one.
Well, and you know, as I was telling Dennis earlier, I just don't believe that if Mitt Romney doesn't hit it out of the park tonight, if he has a mediocre performance, because Obama, you know, is going to be from a purely political analysis standpoint, not even bringing my politics into it, Obama's most likely going to reference Bain tonight, offshore accounts, et cetera, flip-flopping. You know, that's going to come up tonight. So if Romney...
How do you know, Joe? I mean, they were hoping he was going to bring that up on the domestic side 2 weeks ago.
Well, it should have been from a political standpoint. And once again, I'm not, you know,
away from the ideology. Remember, Crowley is going to be taking questions from the audience, but she gets to pick the questions. And that's where the problem is.
Well,
she might be saying, Mitt, what do you think? Are you wearing your magic underwear? Being a Mormon, you know? When he ran for president 4 years ago in RKO. That was a big discussion in talk radio here. It
no,
was
let
horrible, but that is the reality.
Well, hold on. Joe, let me respond to something that you said. Let's say they do bring up the 47%, right?
Correct.
As many liberals are hoping that Obama does, to put him on the spot and make him have to answer those questions, right? Please respond to that statement about the 47%. I think Mitt Romney is going to hit that one out of the park because it's been expected. That much I know. It's going to be hit out of the park because it's expected. Secondly, if he brings up Bain Capital, a company that Mitt Romney ran some, 12 years ago? 12, 13 years ago?
Still ran it.
Okay, but his if Bain Capital and his involvement 13 years ago is relevant, then you would have to submit that it's okay to discuss Barack Obama's 14-year-old statements about redistribution and being a huge fan of it, right?
Okay, now here's the thing. Now, first off, Mitt Romney, Bain Capital and Mitt Romney, he was the executive, the administrator, the primary kind of decision maker for the company.
Them.
But here's the thing. He didn't create jobs. He bought companies, broke them off, and the casualties of the war were the casualties of the war. Individuals lost their jobs. Outsourcing occurred. So let's get that fact straight. In terms of redistribution of wealth, yes, in 1998.
That's a talking point.
You haven't answered
Reese's question. If Bain is going to be brought up, can we talk about Obama's record of saying we need redistribution of wealth back 14 years ago? Why is
that? I agree. It should be talked about because I've watched the entire video. He said that the mechanisms of government by which the government brings services to individuals of lower socioeconomic status needs to be improved. And the way to improve that would be to redistribute wealth, which the nation has been doing for nearly all of its history. We've been engaged in progressive
taxation.
But,
Joe, you miss a point, if I might.
Dennis,
the question is with Barack Obama is what methods, what levers is he going to use? Is it going to be the traditional Democrat way of so-called redistributing, or is it going to be his new socialist idea?
Gentlemen, real quick, before we get off the subject of Bain. So if we're going to talk about Mitt Romney's position at Bain, let's talk about all the people at Bain that have donated to the Obama campaign. So Obama can't say anything about Mitt Romney with Bain when Obama is taking money from people from higher ups in Bain
for his own Obama bundlers
campaign. This is being distorted. If anything, that attests to Mitt Romney's character. This is being completely distorted.
I'm in the reeds here.
Okay. Individuals, I can't confirm this because I'm not privy to that information. But if you're speaking from a matter of fact or from a standpoint of fact, I would simply say that it attests to what kind of person or what kind of leadership abilities Mitt Romney may potentially possess that individuals who knew him, were acquainted with him, are donating to his opponent. And
let me ask you this, Joe. When John Kennedy gave up his salary and gave it all to charity, of course you weren't born yet, but I was alive, do you think that was a noble thing for President Kennedy to do?
To give up his entire salary? Indeed,
yes,
it was.
Yes, he did.
I would certainly say that's a positive thing. So then
you would say the same thing then for Mitt Romney, because he didn't take a salary as Massachusetts governor. He donated all to charity.
Not only did he not take a salary as Massachusetts governor, but the money that his father left him, because everybody wants to say he rode his father's coattails, the money that his father left him in his trust or whatever, he gave away to charity.
He gave
that away. Because he had enough of his own money. And if you want to talk about him going into businesses and tearing them down, businesses are about profits. And when you're not making a profit, unfortunately, you have to shut it down. Just like at my job.
Hold on.
Wait a minute, Joe. Just like at any of one of our jobs, if the demand for whatever you're supplying falls below a certain line, some people have to get cut. You have to cut somewhere when the demand is lowering. The supply is high. Now you have a low demand. You have to get rid of some of that supply. And if some of that supply is workers, then it happens. People get laid off. I've been laid off twice in my life.
I think it's just the nature of
it. And I understand what you're saying, but here's the thing. It doesn't take away from the fact that he grew up in a very privileged environment, that he was given essentially the privilege of going to Harvard. He had a very coddled life, and because of his father's connections, he was able to obtain status naturally.
Barack Obama was not running around in rags.
But
Joe, a black woman is
he didn't grow.
Wait
he didn't
minute,
grow up. Yeah.
Joe, Barack Obama cannot relate the way you think he can. You think he can relate because of the color of his skin, but he can't. Barack Obama cannot relate to the average, what you would call, what you have referred to, the average black American, low-income people. Barack Obama can't relate to that. His wife is running around in $500 tennis shoes.
And he went to the most exclusive school in Hawaii.
Can relate because you can get welfare, but you got on $500 tennis shoes.
Isn't that right, Mary?
Now,
was it Put a Hole or whatever the name of the school was?
Barack Obama, let's talk about this. Barack Obama didn't come from prestige nor wealth.
Hold on. His grandmother, who he lived with when he was a child, when
correct.
His mother left him, okay? His mother was the vice president of a bank. His mother wasn't some migrant worker. His mother was a vice president of a bank, and he went to a prestigious school in Hawaii. We're not talking about Kansas here. We're talking about Hawaii.
Okay. And he was lucky to have had that, but he is not going around talking about how, you know, and this is the primary point with Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney is so detached. At least Barack Obama has. He may not be able to directly understand what it is
what
to be on
welfare.
What the
hell do you know about Mitt Romney? I know Mitt Romney. He was my governor. He's the most
decent-downer
guy you can meet.
Well, you forget the Romney family is from Michigan, Dennis, so I know him too.
Okay.
Okay.
He was not your governor. And, you know, his old man was.
Well, okay,
his old man is dead and buried.
His family's from Michigan and what, Joe? His family's from Michigan and what can you say about them as noble, law-abiding, decent human beings?
I'm not saying that they're not noble. I'm not questioning their personal – well, I suppose Mitt Romney's personal integrity or perhaps inner core, inner values could be questioned because he changes his views every few days or perhaps, per election cycle.
I mean, like
Barack
Obama says, I'm not for gay marriage, and as soon as it was expedient, I'm going to marry a guy if I could, it seems like he was saying.
No. He simply said, and that's one position, Dennis, he hasn't changed his entire ideology over the course of two election cycles. Mitt Romney has changed his entire ideology. From 1996, when he ran against Edward Kennedy, you would have thought the guy was a Democrat.
Look
at videos from 1996, Dennis.
Mitt Romney, there's no ideological difference
between him and Edward Kennedy.
You know what? Hold on. Let me give Joe some credit here. Joe, you're absolutely right, because this was something I railed against Mitt Romney about in 2008, and you're 100% right.
He was to the left. He ran to the left of Ted Kennedy, and that's a legitimate beef.
In Mitt Romney in 2000, ardently, I mean, juxtaposed to where he is today, he was ardently against what would be considered the Republican establishment. He did anything that he could do to be elected. In fact, in an interview in 2000 in Massachusetts, he told Republicans and he told the reporters that he was not the Republican Party and he was much more of a moderate. And the reason why he said that, and I'm not saying that's cool, he said that to what? Get elected in a blue state. I don't agree with that. I never do. If you change your views in order to get elected, I do not and will not ever appreciate that. This has always been my criticism of Mitt Romney. But let's talk about the leadership.
Yeah, but you can't find that in Barack Obama. You can find, sure. He's changed his position on gay marriage, one issue. But he hasn't changed his whole ideological platform.
Not true.
He keeps consistently saying the same thing.
He changed
Hey, Reese, can I jump in here in a minute?
More than twice, Joe. More than twice. I've heard him on audio live. Hey,
but I've been able to cite some chronological facts as to what Mitt Romney's all about. You know, you can't. 14 years ago, he was talking about redistribution of wealth. Of course, it was taken out of context, but nonetheless, he was talking about redistribution of wealth in 2008. You see, the guy has a steady ideological stream.
You sound
we
like
know
the
where he's
Kennedy
there.
Crowley.
Hey, Reese, can
weird,
I jump in here a couple? Of, hey,
yes,
Reese,
Edward, go ahead, Edward.
I've got a few things that Barack Obama has flipped over, and that is just off the top of my head. Number one, shovel-ready jobs. He said, oh, we've got only shovel-ready jobs. All of a sudden he gets in office, there's no such thing as shovel-ready jobs. I don't know what you're talking about. He was against increasing the debt limit. Then we got in office, oh, we're going to increase the debt limit. He was against the Bush tax cuts when he was campaigning. Then he increased them. You know, that's just off the top of my head, things that this guy has flipped over.
He was against the Bush tax cuts in its current form, meaning keeping tax rates the same.
Just to piggyback off what Edward said.
Yeah.
Okay? Just to piggyback off what Edward said. Okay? This is a president who, when he was a candidate in 2008, said, and you know the quote, that $4.8 trillion in debt under George W. Bush in 8 years was unpatriotic. Here's a president.
Unconstitutional.
Right. He said he was unpatriotic, right? Said he was going to double down. He said he was going to reduce the deficit, right? This is a president who said that $4.8 trillion in 8 years was unpatriotic and cost us $6 trillion in 3.5 years. So
this
we really
is
want to
candidate
about-
who also said nothing okay. in his open administration was going to be passed unless we had a full open debate on C-SPAN.
Transparency.
Exactly.
Complete.
And I'm going to
okay,
close
okay.
the
now,
vote
let
in
me,
one year.
Now is the transparency
on
Libya?
Where to go? Let Edward
see,
go.
Well, let me just get back to the Bush tax cuts, and then I'm going to address a few other things quickly.
I want
to
hear Edward.
Yeah, now,
well,
now the affordable.
Joe, Edward, go. I promise
yeah.
I'll let you go.
Sure.
I said yep. I'm going to close Gitmo in 1 year. Close Gitmo. It's going to be closed.
Right?
Another flip
yep.
flop.
That's right.
Lobbyist.
Okay.
But he did overturn
excessive. Well, the use of torture in general. He revised the Army manual. So
once again,
he overturned that, but they put in a soccer field. They used your taxpaying dollars to put in a soccer field.
Oh, by the way, $30,000 of your tax money was spent to determine if Gaydar is real or not.
Yeah, we
look
all right.
That's
ridiculous. That's just ridiculous.
But
publish
the truth.
No,
that's
wait,
your
Barry. Joe, that's a fact. That's a fact. There was a report today that came out that the government actually funded a program to find out whether or not Gaydar existed. They found out that it was 60% real.
Well, the government didn't.
$30,000. Couldn't they have hired a new police officer or a teacher somewhere in the inner city?
Well, you know what? Was this a congressional? Because this is cockamamie sounding.
No.
Nope.
Well, I don't know about the cock pot, but that was the Gaydar.
Okay. Nonetheless, I'm not too sure about that. Once again, I'm going to look that up. And if what you say is substantiated, I'm going to figure out what the source of that was, and I'll either concede that something was incorrect or formulate an argument if I see inconsistencies. But, you know, the point being, in terms of Barack Obama opposing the Bush tax cuts, yes.
Wait a minute, Joe. It came from Senator Tom Coburn. He released his waste book 2012 today, detailing the 100 most egregious wastes of taxpayer money. 200-page report. Details waste in all manner of federal spending, from multi-billion-dollar programs all the way to down to a $300 grant to a small-town library for a Star Wars-themed event. It says it's emblematic of the waste found everywhere in the federal budget.
Okay, so perhaps during the Bush administration, when
I'm not saying Bush administration
when $16 million was spent on the...
I'm not going to defend the Bush administration, but that was 4 years ago.
But you're trying to say that this waste, this egregious waste has been perpetrated, but yet it occurs in every administration, so stop trying to put a patent...
Barack Obama said 4 years ago he was going to be the
Messiah.
He's going to stop all this.
But the Republican Party is trying to patent themselves as this exclusively... Yes.
Joe, you're missing a very grand point here, okay? If there's anything that we say on this show, it's never about partisanship here on the level of government waste. When we see government waste on this show and we talk about it, and trust me, we do, when we talk about government waste, we don't care who it is. What we do is we find out who's responsible for it, okay? All right?
Well,
We find out who's responsible for it. And you can do everything that you can to talk about the Bush administration 4 years ago. But the bottom line is this, is that if this were the Bush administration, the scrutiny level would be high. It always was. The scrutiny level
is not even the president anymore. And every Barack Obama supporter used the path of someone else's, so two wrongs make a right.
Right,
so
to justify,
what?
Right.
The Bushes did it, so the Obamas can do it. No, because Bush didn't get out there and say, I'm going to be transparent, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. Barack Obama did. So we are talking about the things that he did or did not do.
Sure.
Did not.
And he did everything he was going to do on the campaign trail.
We're holding
the Affordable Care
Barack
Act.
Obama up to the standard that he set for himself.
If you look into
okay.
the Affordable Act, I promise you, if you read it word for word, every page, I promise you, you will then come to the conclusion that it's not so freaking affordable. And the person it's going to hit the most is you. I work, if you're middle income, if you're middle class or upper lower class or lower middle class, it's going to hit you, me, and everyone that is on this
government waste.
Everyone else in
that
the country. So while I'm in the medical field,
yeah.
Okay,
what,
I already know what they've already started doing for some, you know, law that's going to not even into play yet. They've already been pre-planning this for 3 years. And in 2014, if this doesn't go into play, how many billions of dollars have been wasted? Wasted. Money they spent on Medicare, the $19 billion stimulus package that they put aside for doctors and hospitals and any other medical facilities to become EMRs, it's billions of dollars. You tell me how much of that
waste. Yeah. And I find it interesting because we're bringing up waste, but yet again, the Obama administration thoroughly investigated Medicare and found out that the Medicare Security Administration, more specifically, was overpaying the private insurance health industry for – obviously, primarily elderly patients to be treated. They went in there, they cut the waste out. They cut the waste out, and guess what they did? They garnered an additional $8 billion.
And how did you find $8 billion in dead people are still receiving food stamps in New York and Massachusetts combined?
Well, that's a state issue, Dennis. That's a state issue.
This was the USDA issue.
Massachusetts needs to look into that.
If you want
that's
to talk
USDA
about Medicare
issue.
And Medicare fraud, the Obama administration has appointed staff members to their administration that were working with Medicare when Medicare was under its biggest fraud investigation. So you tell me how that pans out. He took those people that were working for Medicare during one of the largest Medicare fraud investigations and put them on his staff. Those same people were caught up in that fraud. And
how
now
about
they
the 1.5 million federal taxpayer funds
okay.
assist
well, once again,
grape growing endeavors with vineyards and wineries?
I'd like to explain how this is completely affordable and how it is very plausible because, once again, Paul Ryan, Mitt Romney, they're the Etch-a-Sketch candidates, rather. You know, they have broad-based ideas that they're trying to pitch. And it's so pathetic how Mitt Romney is trying to suck in seniors by saying that.
What are you talking about? I'm a couple of years away from being a senior. I support Romney and Ryan.
No.
I can see right through
Prior to this, Mitt Romney was talking about how he wanted.
And you know what? America rejects class warfare.
Listen, 4 years ago, I listened to the guy. It came out of his own mouth. 4 years ago, he talked about how he wanted to eliminate the current Medicare system, overhaul Social Security, and replace it with private health insurance plans, or turn it over to the private marketplace, create this voucher-like
system. And he explained that.
What
Bush
wanted to do.
That.
Now he's going back on that, saying he wants to create a grandfather clause. Okay,
you're
for
missing
those who
something,
are cur-
Joe.
For the,
and
for
I
those
mean
people,
this
but listen.
Sincerely. There's only so many eggs the golden goose laid before she ain't given any more. Where the hell is this money coming from? China?
But no, I'm telling you. Can I get to that point? I'm telling you where it's coming from. Okay? Now, there's $757 billion that goes into the Medicare system yearly, okay, and federally taxed, it's paid for via federal taxes, all right? Now, all of us know that the elderly population or individuals who are going to be eligible for Medicare is going to skyrocket due to the baby boom generation entering into the 65-plus range. So then what the Obama administration is essentially doing is they're telling the health insurance industry that these are the rates that are going to be set for seniors under the Affordable Care Act. These are the rates that are going to be abided by, and if you don't like the rates, too bad. That's essentially what happened, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Let me piggyback on what you just said. And I believe
it was like 16%.
Joe.
Pardon?
Let me piggyback on what you just said. It's a contracted rate is what it's called, okay? You get credentialed, you're a doc, and you want to be able to get credentialed to take Medicare, okay? First of all, the fees you have to pay to do that are costly. The paperwork is ridiculous, okay? And not only do you have to get credentialed with Medicare, but then you have to get credentialed with Medicare, some durable medical equipment, even though you don't have that medical equipment. You're an optometrist and you have to credential for DMOS or DPOS, whatever it's called, and it costs you money. You're not providing medical equipment. There's no reason why you have to get credentialed and pay those fees. All that red tape is a crazy headache. So what doctors do you think that they're telling, this is our, your usual and customary fees are $120. If the patient doesn't have health insurance, that's what you charge them. But our contracted rate with you is going to be $45 because they don't even do half.
Okay, well, what about how?
Okay, wait. Let me finish.
Yeah.
Allow me to finish. Okay? So now the government is regulating what the contracted rate is going to be with every insurance company, not just with Medicare. This is going to be in every insurance company, okay?
Right.
So now who do you think is going to take Medicare? They're going to be like, you know what? I'm not going through this red tape to get credentialed and continue to keep credentialed because you have to go through the credentialing process. I think it's every 3 years with Medicare, if I stand correctly. So nobody's going to keep going through that if they're getting less money to take it.
What's good, Joe, is having a doctor and the benefits, and the doctors won't accept you. Do you know how hard it is to get a doctor in Massachusetts? It's difficult because I'm on MassHelp. And it's difficult for me to find the doctor I want. And my surgeon told me that he might just leave the profession depending on who wins in November. Oh, yeah, you can say it's fully paid for. Yeah, try getting a doctor, though, who will accept it. That's the deal.
It's like having Medicaid.
Okay.
It's like having Medicaid and having to get dental work done.
Now, there's an inadequacy in the system. The inadequacy is that...
The inadequacy is done because
of
socialism. Socialism doesn't work.
And what's wrong with the bill is that it doesn't mandate that, and it allows doctors and medical institutions to reserve the right to refuse these patients, which shouldn't be allowed because you're right.
Then you're going to say it shouldn't have been allowed for Barack Obama to exempt his union buddies, and they were all exempt from
Because they provide health insurance. No, we're not talking about the private industry. It has nothing to do with the private health. If you receive health insurance from your employer, you were talking about hypocrisy of Mitt Romney, but you don't see the forest for the trees. If you receive health insurance from your employer, okay, you will not be affected. Union.
Yes, you will.
Union.
Joe.
No, you
Joe,
will not.
Joe,
no, you will
right
not.
Here. Joe, just.
Joe, when the hell have you ever been on the real world like we have?
Hold on, your health care will not be affected.
I want Mary to respond to this because she's in this field.
Joe.
So she is the, she, I, in this particular case, I think Mary's the expert here. And
Joe,
I'll be
you
honest,
listen to that black
I've seen
lady.
This woman
yeah
at work. I've seen this woman at work. She knows her stuff. So at least give her the opportunity to respond to that.
Sure.
If you are on health care from your employer, if you think that you read that bill and you're saying that, oh, nothing is going to change, it's a flat-out lie, and you better go back and reread it and highlight it and reread it another time. Because the stipulation is your medical coverage won't change unless your insurance provider, which is Kaiser, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Aetna, whatever, when they make changes, which all insurance companies make changes to their premiums, their co-pays, all of that every year, at a minimum once a year. Once those changes start to take effect, all of your stuff is going to change. So that's a lie.
Though.
It's a lie. Read it again.
So what you're saying is that these health insurance companies are going to raise rates on those individuals who they already are covering or via these employers who come to these private health insurance companies. They're going to raise the rates on the individuals already insured because that's the most they can do.
They do that every year.
Right,
you have to. You
right.
Have, like people get.
Oh, yeah, you have to because they're in it to make a profit.
Cost of living raise. Yeah. Every single year you go up. My health insurance, since I've had it with the current company I'm with, has gone up. Maybe it's minute, but it's gone up, and something has changed within the plan every
year. Sure. So what you're saying
I
is it's accurate.
I want to touch on something
it
Joe just said. I have a question for
it.
Joe.
And that's the mechanism that Compton states. It already
Joe,
goes up as it is.
I have a question to you.
Yeah.
Hold on
you
for
said
a second.
They're making a profit. Do you have a basic problem with the medical industry making a profit?
Okay, first off,
Reese
yeah
is breaking up. I'm sorry.
All right, listen to what it is that I'm saying here, okay? Look at what it is that we've seen recently, the stories that we've heard recently. And I hate to use such, you know, I hate to use a company that most of us sort of whisk at, so to speak. But, you know, I said this when I was working for a landscaping company out in Virginia, and I saw this happening to everyone. Right now, I think Olive Garden, which is, I think, their parent company, in order to combat the changes that may happen with Obamacare, because they cannot deal with the growing cost of you have more than 30 employees and you have to be a part of Obamacare if they're full-time employees, what they did to combat Obamacare was give people 10 less hours on their paycheck in order to combat that. We'll also go into the argument of all of these companies that receive waivers from Kathleen Sebelius and the Health and Human Services, I should say, HHS, that they gave waivers to these companies to combat this growing sort of burden that would go on to these companies because of this health care program that was going to cost employers money. So in essence, they were letting them save money so they can combat the rising costs to keep those employees covered. There was a case with, I think it was a Wells Fargo.
Yes.
There was a story that happened last year where Wells Fargo sent out a memo to their employers and told them that the health insurance that they had was no longer going to be available, or at least the provider that they had was no longer going to be available the next year because of Obamacare. So all of these companies, right now, I think the list is on over 2,000 companies that have received waivers, and is now the list of 2,000 employers who are now literally combating the Obamacare plan in order to protect themselves financially and hurting their employees in the same respect. How could you say that this was a positive thing? Because, Joe, if I'm a guy like you, if I'm a guy like you, I'm not thinking that you're the kind of guy who says to somebody who works at Olive Garden or somebody who works at McDonald's or somebody who works at Wendy's should pay extra money for their health care, those quote-unquote menial jobs. And you can't tell me right now that you accept that proposal.
No, what I do accept is that and this goes back to distribution, and it's paid for through progressive taxation, and most of it is paid for by, and that's why Obama wants to let the Bush tax cuts for the top 10% of the population expire, because that's one of the primary mechanisms by which we're going to be able to pay for it without raising rates across the board.
But it's affecting small people. It's affecting
it's
the
only
average worker.
Because this is what the Republican Party wants. Listen, we can avoid all this by simply raising taxes. We can take care of the debt crisis, too, by raising
taxes.
There is
not enough money in this country by raising taxes. You're absolutely
incorrect. In fact,
No.
There's a congressional
Yes.
Hold on.
We have a $16 trillion GDP, sir.
There was a congressional budget office survey, right, a study. That says that even if you were to take those 3% of Americans, and those are people making $250,000 or more in this country, if you were to tax 100% of their salary, it still wouldn't be a smidgen.
But you're forgetting the fact that, we're not going to be exclusively taxing the top 3% of income earners. So you're leaving the remaining 97-98% out of the equation. Now they will receive taxes too. It just becomes progressively lower in correspondence to because at the end of the day, everyone's getting the same portion of their income taxed. It only corresponds with the amount of money that they make on a yearly basis. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
the less money you make, the less tax you pay.
Yeah, I mean.
Okay, and that makes sense, right?
I haven't heard a word from you saying where we should be cutting. All I hear from you is
raise
taxes.
We do need to be cutting. We do need to be cutting. And, once again, I'm not going to deny what you brought up earlier, if that's true about, that Gaydar, research project. That's completely ridiculous, and I would agree. If that's true, I would agree. You have Congress.
Isn't it ridiculous as us borrowing money from China to support PBS?
Yes.
PBS only receives 12%
Japan
PBS
from China.
No. Well, let's not do that. PBS only receives 12% of its funding from the federal government.
I don't care if it's 5 cents.
Hold on, guys.
That would mean that 88% of its funding comes from private.
But if that 12% is being borrowed. If that 12% is being borrowed from China, I think we can live without it for a little while. It'll go on, they can fund themselves. Maybe they'll have a couple of less programs or it'll be, a little less quality.
Rex, please get rid of Babar. Please. I don't care what anybody says. Get rid of Babar. I'm done with him.
I mean, I love Snuffleupagus and Big Bird just like anybody else does.
Never get rid of Big Bird. I love everybody.
I like this whole Sesame Street thing. But if we got to borrow money from China to pay for it, hell no.
I want to ask you a question. I want to say, Sal, you're the only person who's actually on the line right now. Put everybody else on hold. Sal, did you want to chime in here real quick?
I do. God bless Joe. Here's my opinion. I mean, I don't know Joe, but I listen to his voice. And I'm willing to bet you he's a young guy. So it's likely that the last surgical procedure he had in the hospital was his circumcision. At the end of the day, I'm not quite sure
where
the preference is, because he doesn't have a family. He doesn't understand what it's like to try and make a mortgage. He doesn't have a kid who's sick, or a relative that he lives with maybe that has this procedure that's not covered. Your opinions, your opinions are based on life experiences, and Joe's a very articulate young man, but he doesn't have the life experiences and the years for me to take some of these positions, in fact most of his positions, very seriously.
You believe that Joe's coming from a perspective of a young single male who hasn't dealt with those sort of adversities. Is that what you're saying, Sally?
Main influences are his teachers, who he greatly respects, and God bless him. He's a very articulate young guy. So I don't get as wound up as Edward or some of these other callers that we, Dennis, like he gets under the skin a little. You know, the reality is I think Joe's frame of reference is different than ours. He's probably, and I'm guessing, he could be 30 years old, but he sounds like he's 16.
Joe, how old are you, if I may ask?
I'm 19. I'm not,
he just turned 19. He's not even a month into 19.
Joe, you're 19, sweetheart. You are amazing.
And you guys are getting your asses dusted by a 19-year-old.
Ain't nobody getting dusted by no goddamn 19-year-old. Shut up, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
He brought the blackout, goddamn it.
Hold on.
Hey, Joe, did they tell you it's not cool to beat up on your seniors?
Joe, you're really 19 years old?
I am, yes.
Had he been a Republican, Reese? Had he been a Republican?
He was a Republican.
He'd be yours.
Yeah. Are you kidding me?
4 years ago, he was a Romney guy.
I mean, literally, I've, in my lifetime, have ever been this flabbergasted.
Well,
never.
I mean, you know, and here's the other thing. You know, it's not hard to be an ideologist or an ideologue when you're young because you have these kind of aspirations and you're taught about these things. And so I can cut him the break. And I don't know who said it, but who was the guy that said, was a famous guy, might have even been a president,
Churchill.
Said, you know, show me a young man who's not a liberal.
That was Winston
Churchill.
It was Churchill, yeah.
There you go.
I would say our debt's a national security threat, and so is China.
Right. If you're not a liberal when you're 19, you've got no heart. If you're not a conservative when you're 30, you've got no brain. I think something
right.
like that. Yeah,
and I really do think we become conservatives.
You'll go back, I promise. But listen, you're 19, and the fact that you're so interested and so animated and so educated
and passionate.
I love it.
It sounds like me when I was 19. I was a Democrat.
No, but you know what? Now knowing that you're 19, see, that's the thing. Let me tell you this, Joe, and I'm gonna give it a perspective from an old man.
Sure.
From an old man.
Well, in comparison to him, you are.
I'll tell you this, and this is the reason why I give you this platform. I love having you on the show. It's because it's not so much about the fact that your ideology or anything about that. It is about conviction. It doesn't matter what it is that you believe. I always believe in conviction. And again, belief to me is bullcrap. It's got to be knowledge. You know, knowledge is always above belief. Because what we believe can always be trumped by what we know is truth, what we know. And look, this is something that you believe, and you've expressed that this is what it is that you believe based upon what it is that you've seen. And I love the fact that you're expressing it here. And you've been fearless. Fearless, and I appreciate it.
You got to give it to him.
Listen, when you flip your switch, kid, trust and believe. I'm sure you sound a lot like Reese did when he was 19.
Oh, of course he does.
Except on the other side of the pancake.
You know, you're absolutely right there, JC. You're on the opposite side. But, yeah, I was, you know. Look, Joe, I'm going to give you a great example of me as a child. There used to be a guy who used to quote all the time. I swear to God.
I met you when you were 19.
When I was 19 years old, this guy said it. It was even younger than that. I was about 16 years old. This guy said this to me. I swear to you, this is what he said. And I'm not saying you sound like this, but this is what made me laugh. He was so passionate. He was angry. He was an African-American who he became a 5%er or a Muslim, if you will.
5%er.
5%er. And we were arguing about religion. And I was, of course, arguing with him about Christ and about Catholicism. And he was talking about how Christ and Christianity were demons and all that other stuff. And he kept yelling. And I looked at him and I said, look, I will have a conversation with you if you just stop hollering at me. Stop hollering at me and we can have a decent conversation. He looked at me and he said this. Swear to God. And this is where I walked away. He said, Allah spelled backwards is holla, and I must holla to be heard.
Oh my God, no, he didn't.
I walked away.
We used to look. 5 percenters used to come to our, used to hang out because we grew up in that neighborhood, and 5 percenters would come over and actually hang out with us, even though they tell us, you know, in 5 years from now we're gonna kill you all. But whatever. Blonde hair, blue eye. Can I get a bowl of ice cream? You know, hey, where's the music at? Anyway. They, you know, we had one kid, his name was, that's what they called him, Allah. So we were like,
it's showtime, folks.
Ted, that's what we.
Debate's on.
We got to go to the debate, guys. That's our show for tonight. Joe, again, you have no idea, man. We appreciate you, man. We love you 100%, man. And thank you for joining us on the show.
Thank you. No
Let's
problem.
Go
I enjoy
out.
Being here.
Thank you, man. And I really do. I appreciate you. God, I don't, never thought he was so damn young. He's a baby.
I thought you knew.
He's
told you, Reese, man. I got him. I can nail him. It's me, the voice.
You called it, Sal. You called it. You called
my hero.
All right, folks. We will see you tomorrow. We'll talk about the debate. Enjoy it. Have a good one. We love you.